Americans drove 9 billion miles less in October than last year, and this was while gas prices were actually dropping from the highs this summer. And it begs the question as to whether Americans are looking at a major cultural shift or a major behavioral shift, or perhaps both. And to investigate those questions, we turn to Matt Dellinger, who is a reporter and an author who's currently working on a book about our roadways. And what's the name of it, Matt?
Interstate 69.
Interstate 69. So what do you think of this, even though gas prices went down significantly in October compared to the highs in July of $4 a gallon, and we're driving less?
It's very interesting. And meanwhile, you'd expect a certain amount of decrease in driving when the economy is bad, because people who aren't working don't commute, obviously. But there's also a spike in transit ridership that has been sustained for the entire past year. It's been going up, and I think it was 7% last quarter over a year before, and light rail alone was up 9%. And what seems to be happening is people who are trying out public transportation are sticking with it. They're finding that they like it, and this sort of is rattling some of the beliefs that we've had about ourselves, and you know, the idea that public transportation is for people with no other option, and that really what Americans want to do is fire up their cars in the morning.
Let's put that in one category, the public transportation. But let's just go back first and sort of dissect the not driving. Of course, if you're unemployed, you're probably driving less. If you're shopping less, and we know Americans are shopping less because the retail numbers show that, they're not driving as much. But why has it been sustained, do you think, during a period of time when gas prices have actually gone down so significantly? I mean, last week on average it was less than $2 a gallon in most places.
Yeah. Well, there's some, you know, Obama was, our president-elect was talking about the way that we have a sort of shock and trance cycle. So in the 70s when the gas prices spiked, everyone stopped driving so much and started doing other things or making their lives a little bit different. And then gas got cheap again, and they just went back to their old way of living.
Exactly.
And there's a sense that that's not happening this time. And it may be. I think it's probably a confluence of, you know, the housing crash and the gas prices, and also the rhetoric of the campaign has got people sort of thinking, you know, maybe the word sustainable means something. Maybe we can't keep living this way.
Well, it's also the case that the severity of the spike meant that you suddenly think about every time you get in the car. And I think combined with the campaign rhetoric, I think it suddenly driving is not an unconscious act.
That's right.
It's a very conscious act, and that, you know, all by itself has a limiting effect on the amount of driving.
Exactly.
And that hasn't gone away with the prices coming down.
And I don't think it will. I think it's sort of now we've learned that driving costs money.
But to your second point, which is fascinating, I read about public transportation. I read some directors in some states saying that sometimes it's hard to get people onto public transportation, but as soon as they get onto it, and this was a common one, particularly in Los Angeles, once they get on, they stay on. They stay committed to it. They realize how much easier it can make their life.
As a matter of fact,
and it's not about whether you can afford to go on public transportation because you don't have a car or other modes of transportation.
Right. Well, there's two things. One is that affording it, like the fact that you can pay to drive, doesn't mean that you don't learn how much cheaper it is. I mean, maybe you can afford to drive, but you realize you can save $1,000 a month easily without parking and driving. And what's interesting about this spike in transit ridership is that, you know, the head of the American Public Transportation Association was saying in an article, I believe, in the Washington Post, that it's middle-class suburban riders. I mean, they're getting on the bus kind of for the first time in big numbers. And
it's a double whammy for the transportation infrastructure in that suddenly mass transit needs more support.
Right.
The highways need more support, and declining revenues in gas taxes because people are driving less means that suddenly a whole new way of funding this kind of infrastructure has to be found. What's the news there?
Well, short term, I think you're going to see a lot of people saying that we should raise the gas tax. Our governor, I believe, announced said today or Friday that that's something he's looking at. He might go back on his pledge to not raise taxes.
Our governor?
You talk about New York?
I'm sorry.
22 states on this show.
No.
You're talking about New York,
so New York,
right?
Governor. Okay,
New York.
Continue.
I'm sorry. And the Christian Science Monitor was opining last week that we should raise the federal gas tax 40 cents on the gallon, which seems huge, but it hasn't been raised since the early 90s. But I think we're going to have to pay for this. I mean, there's a sense that, you know, Santa Claus is coming with his stimulus package and we're all going to get new roads and trains. But one way or another, we are going to have to realize that moving around is a utility. It's like using electricity, and it has to be paid for.
But in terms of that stimulus, I mean, the idea there for those who are proposing that the federal government spend some money on infrastructure, particularly roadways and other things, not only would that get people working, as some argue, but it would also help fix some of these roads and that are struggling.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of people waiting for this confluence of events I talked about, you know, people who are mass transit promoters and people who State Department of Transportation people who've been begging for more money for a long time. There's a lot that needs to be done.
And you hear state officials say, we have all these projects ready to go, we just need the money. Do mm-hmm. you find that to be true
it
generally,
is true.
Or is that just more rhetoric?
Well, you know, a major highway project like the one I'm writing about, I-69, they've been doing environmental studies for 20 years. So obviously you would not want to plan tomorrow, decide to build a new road unless you plan to go around all of the environmental laws that we have to prevent, you know, or to make sure that you're doing it as stewardly as possible.
And that's an awesome, cool bullet train, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, California voted, they had a measure on the ballot, and they voted to fund the high-speed rail between L.A. and San Francisco. That's going to be 10 to 20 years
really?
Easily. So, but you can put people to work with ready-to-go projects, and the states are seeing big deficits in what they expected to get from their own state gas taxes. So just getting their budgets up to where they had expected them to be is...
So it's soon going to become a priority. That's what you're telling us, Matt.
I think it's a priority now.
For politicians, though. Because they've got a lot on their plate right now, right?
Yes, they do.
Matt Dellinger, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Matt Dellinger is an author, and he's currently working on a book about our roadways called Interstate 69.
And writing is one of Matt's holiday traditions. What's one of yours?
We're celebrating the holidays this year, as we have for the last 6 years, by going up to the comedy club where we serve the homeless or anybody that does not have anywhere to go for the holidays a good meal and a good show and have a great time, and every kid gets a present.
Continue your holiday tradition, sharing them with us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Here's your takeaway.
Every investor with enough money to invest can be taken by somebody with enough of the smarts that a con man will employ.
Jason Zweig of the Wall Street Journal talking about the scheme that Bernard Madoff has confessed to, $50 billion. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.